Space Cowboy. Bet you weren't ready for that.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend, a new kind of radio because life doesn't stop on the weekends. I'm a child of the space era, fascinated by all things NASA. So fascinated recently when I heard that NASA is going to get $100 million next year to jumpstart an audacious program to drag an asteroid into orbit around the moon for, I guess, research and exploration purposes. When I heard that, I thought, let's get somebody who can explain this. So I called upon Emily Lakdawalla, who's a planetary geologist and the senior editor for planetary.org. Hi, Emily. How are you?
Hi, Paul. I'm great. Thank you.
Two questions here. How and why? Let's start with how. How do you lasso an asteroid?
Both of those are very good questions. The NASA's design has to do with essentially bagging the asteroid and bring it back. The thing is that these tiny little bodies, there's really no gravity involved. So it's, I think we all imagine like a hard space rock tumbling in space. But these things are, they're probably very dusty. They probably have a lot of gravel on the surface. It's really hard to just, you can't grapple it or lasso it. You have to actually bag the thing and bring it back with a spaceship.
So no such thing as a tractor beam involved here.
Well, gravity tractors are actually one way that has been proposed to tow an asteroid, but this thing is so tiny. The mission that they're proposing is a pretty small one. Really, you just got to kind of, put a net around the thing and back.
Do we know what thing we're talking about here?
We do not know what thing we're talking about here. And one of the challenges, actually, with the eventual goal with this program is to talk about how to get humans working in the neighborhood of asteroids, right? And the problem is that they're very hard to find asteroids that are in exactly the right orbit to send a human to. And so it's actually much easier to work with an asteroid if we could just bring it to us rather than trying to fly to it. And so there are very small asteroids that are in orbits kind of similar to Earth. And so we would just be waiting for one to kind of get close and pass by us, and we wouldn't actually have to... I think terribly far ahead about which one it would be that we would net. We would just kind of be ready to go grab one when one came along.
I'm still stuck on the bagging part here, and you just used the word net. Are we talking about a giant space net, and we send up a mission, and that we have astronauts go out and throw a net around a space rock?
No, there are no astronauts involved in this part of it. Going out and retrieving it would be a fully autonomous robotic mission, the same as any other NASA deep space mission. The human part would not come until we actually brought it back. As far as what the net would actually look like, I'm sure that that's one of the major design challenges that they're facing with this mission. Most of the rest of it, going to a spot in space and rendezvousing with it and coming back, are stuff that NASA's been doing for decades and is just fine. The net part is actually one of the more interesting technological challenges.
I would think so. You throw it and you miss. You haul it back in and try again. It's like fishermen having a bad day and not catching anything. But this could literally be the deadliest catch, except, as you said, there are no humans involved. All right, so let's get to the second question then. Why?
Well, I think that NASA has been having a bit of a troubling time trying to figure out what the future of human exploration is. And there's a good question. It's not really NASA's fault. It's not NASA's job to decide where America should be going with astronauts. That's the administration and Congress's job. And they've been getting a lot of rather mixed direction. It changes every 2 to 6 years with changing political winds. And so right now, the flavor of the month is to do a human mission to an asteroid instead of the moon. Charlie Bolden, the head of NASA, actually came out very strongly negative on NASA sending humans back to the moon. Asteroids are the future, is what he said. And so this is NASA doing their best to try to figure out how to do what the administration and Congress wants them to do with future human exploration. Getting humans all the way to an asteroid, when asteroids are very small, they're hard to track, it's hard to find one that's in the right position for a human mission to make a mission short enough that the humans wouldn't, you know, have terrible problems with the cancer and solar flares and long-duration space flights that can happen when you send them out for such a long time. Bringing it back to our neighborhood actually makes a lot of sense for the future of human exploration. Now we have to see if the American public agrees with that.
This is America Weekend. I'm Paul Harris talking with Emily Lakdawalla, who's a planetary geologist and blogger for planetary.org, about NASA's hopes and spending a lot of money. $100 million doesn't sound like all that much money for a NASA program to me. Is it really going to be more than that to drag an asteroid into lunar orbit?
Oh, heavens, yes. This is just for a study. So there would be no hardware, actually, nothing in terms of what would get launched to the asteroid at the end of $100 million. For context, NASA was directed in the fiscal year 2013 budget to spend $75 million on a mission that would finally get us back to Europa. And again, that's just a study. The actual missions in this case would be around $2 billion, give or take a billion. It kind of depends on what the shape of the final mission that they design ends up being. But these are just for the initial planning, the figuring out the necessary technology, like that net that we're talking about, or for Europa, like the challenges of getting the kinds of computers that'll work in a Jupiter orbit with all the terrible magnetic environment that's there. So, yeah, this is just study money. It's not the eventual price tag of a mission.
Okay, so a robotic spacecraft goes up, throws out a net, picks up one of these 500-ton space rocks, drags it back around the moon, puts it into orbit there, and then we have missions where humans, not just from the United States, but I'm sure from other countries as well, go up there, and they're going to do missions on this asteroid, try to land on it, and what exactly would they do on it, Emily?
Well, they wouldn't. Actually, you can't really land on something this small. Think more like docking maneuvers in space, right? So it's a 7-meter asteroid. It's about the size of a house. You would kind of be approaching it. You would be working next to it. The kinds of things you could do scientifically with this would just be absolutely awesome, because asteroids are leftover building blocks from the formation of the solar system. We have never retrieved a large amount of material from an asteroid. Bring that back, we could answer all kinds of questions about the origin of the solar system. But this really is not about science. This is about human exploration. This is about people wanting to ride into space and do stuff in space. It has a lot of bearing on all of these different people talking about future asteroid mining operations. There's a lot of challenge working with these kinds of small bodies, figuring out how you would get the kind of material you need, how you would work with it in space, what you would have to do to get any valuable minerals back to Earth. And also for working in space, if we are going to have a future in space where we build infrastructure in space and big stations and big ships, we're going to have to do most of that construction in space. And so this would be a necessary first step at figuring out, how do we get the resources that we need in space? How do we work with them? How do we mine them? How do we turn them into materials that we can actually build ships and stations out of? So I can see it's definitely a good step forward if that's our plan. But it's not really clear. We haven't had very consistent direction from NASA and ultimately from Congress or the administration for a really long time on what America's future in space is supposed to be. It's really time for the public to speak up. They can come to our website to do that, planetary.org/SOS, and speak up to their congresspeople about what they think the future of American space ought to be.
Wouldn't we want part of the mission to this asteroid that is in orbit around the moon, wouldn't we want part of what they do up there to figure out how to divert asteroids, especially ones like the one that landed in Russia last month, or even bigger ones that might threaten Earth in the future?
I'm very glad you asked that, because I think most people still think that the way to divert an asteroid that's headed for us is to send a nuke up there and blow it up. And I think that what we'll find once we've bagged one of these things, that you explode something next to it and it'll just poof a little hole, and we'll still have a gigantic 7-meter asteroid headed for Earth. And, you know, that wouldn't be good news. So, yes, it's very important that we figure out how we can divert these things. There are a lot of plans that we could do without involving humans, though. So that's not something that we actually need humans in the loop for. It would certainly be great to have a laboratory of a 7-meter asteroid in orbit at the moon to try out lots of technology on. But there's several great mission ideas on the books right now for doing things like painting one side of the asteroid white, which would cause solar pressure to nudge its orbit just enough to make it miss Earth. We can do that kind of stuff with the technology we have right now.
We can paint an asteroid?
Well, you wouldn't paint it. Just imagine, dusting it with bright white dust. You ever dropped a bag of flour on your floor?
Uh-huh.
You'd do the same thing to the asteroid. It wouldn't be flour. It would be something much more reflective and probably not organic. But then you would actually have covered one side of it with a very reflective material, and that would cause the sun to nudge its orbit just enough. You don't need to nudge an asteroid's orbit very much for it to miss Earth entirely. These things are going so fast. You change its velocity by like a fraction of a millimeter per second, and 20 years down the road, it won't have that collision with Earth that it might have.
Boy, this is fascinating stuff, Emily. Thanks so much for joining me today to talk about it.
You're quite welcome. Thanks for having me.
That's Emily Lakdawala, who's a planetary geologist, senior editor, and blogger for planetary.org. If you go to that website, you'll see some of the work that she's doing and her colleague Bill Nye, the science guy, and many others, and read up on it and reach out to Congress and express your opinion on projects like this. Emily Lakdawala here on America Weekend with Paul Harris.
Paul Harris. America.